we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. I'm Bob Arthurs, and we've had just a marvelous weekend, and I feel just absolutely refreshed this morning. I don't really know exactly what to tell you about that. There's a lot of mornings when my eyes open up and say, oh, no, but this morning it is like, man, I just had a wonderful, wonderful night of sleep, and so we're raring to go here for another week, and pray that you are pressing in with your relationship with God. So we want to say thank you to everybody who came out to the drive-thru nativity for North Merritt Island United Methodist Church this last weekend. I hope that was a blessing to some folks. And today we want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions for their support of the Refresh Radio broadcast. If you need any help with your air conditioning here in central Brevard County, give Bill a call. His phone number is 759-3284. He can help you with all of your heating or cooling or refrigeration needs. So check them out, 759-3284. So this is the beginning of our celebration season here. We've had a couple of parties already, a youth group party, a staff and board Christmas party. Last night we had a Christmas cookie celebration, Christmas cookies and hot chocolate. And then tonight is our Women of Worth Christmas banquet. And then Wednesday is our kids' Christmas party. And Wednesday morning is our vintage Christmas service. And just a lot of celebrating going on. It's a wonderful time of year just to be able to celebrate. And so we are talking about here this week, remembering the things that God wants us to remember. And you can put it this way. You can put it as a remember. You can see reminder. You can look at things and say, don't forget. And so this morning, I want to take you to 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and today's broadcast is going to be a little bit different, because what I'd like to do today is give you some tips on ways to remember things better. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 3, and it says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what I would like to do, first of all, is tell you that I believe that it is God's will for us to have a sound mind, not just when we are young, but when we begin to age a little bit and when we begin to get older. I believe that it is still our inheritance in Christ Jesus for us to have a sound mind. It says in verse number 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That is something that I pray, I speak over my life, I speak it over your life. I believe it is the word of God. If it says that God has given us a sound mind, that means that a mind that is not sound is coming from another source. And I don't believe that I just have to accept everything that the devil has to offer me. And so I would just want to encourage you today that as we are looking at these things, we're going to look at some ways to remember things a little bit better. And then we're going to look at several things from this passage that it says for us to remember. So it is absolutely essential for us to have a sound mind if we are going to remember the things that God wants us to remember. I saw an article here about a week ago, a little over a week ago, and it was talking about the way that people remember bad experiences and the way that people remember good experiences. And according to this study, it says that good experiences are stored in one part of the brain and bad experiences are stored in a different part of the brain. And so that's why I believe it's so easy for people to go around complaining and murmuring and groaning all of the time, is because that's stored over in a part of the brain. And we tend to revisit those things. Now, one of the things that I really like about new believers, people who have just started on their walk with Jesus and the adventure that he has them on, is they are just experiencing so much of the grace and the mercy of God that they are constantly retelling and retelling and retelling the great things that God has done. And you contrast that with what is the norm in our society, and most people will tell you the bad experiences that they have had, the way that people treated them improperly, other people's shortcomings. And so the more that we speak those things, the more rehearsed it becomes, and the memory is reinforced over and over and over again. So let me tell you a little bit about some mnemonic devices, M-O-N-I-C. And they are ways that you can help to remember. Now, a few months ago, it's probably, 6 months to a year ago now, the way that time flies, but we were sitting there, we were watching a program on Netflix, and it was tricks that the mind can play on you. And it talks about, this illusionist comes in and he was able to do things right in front of people, and people were asked to recall things. And so now once you've seen the program, then you know what to look for. And so it helps you to stay focused. So today we're going to talk about just a little bit of memory help, memory assistance, things that you can do. The first thing that I want to tell you is repetition, repetition, repetition. Okay. So let me repeat that for you. It's repetition, repetition, repetition. You and I, we remember very little of what we hear. Now, I believe that the study indicates that about 10% of the things that you hear is all that you remember. About 10% of what you hear is all that you remember. And most of the time, if you've ever been part of the chain gang game or the gossip line, whatever it might be called, where one person says something to the person next to them and they only say it one time, and then that person repeats it to the next person, and then that person says it to the next person, by the time it gets to the end of the chain, the message doesn't resemble anything at all like what it was when it started out. It's because they only heard it once. They remembered only what they thought was important. They didn't remember all of the details. And so the more people that get involved in the process, the more corrupt the message becomes. What is really amazing about the Word of God is that it came down by oral dispensation, if you will. It wasn't written down for a long, long time. It was communicated by mouth. And so these people had to go over it over and over and over and over again. Now, the good news about the authenticity of the scripture is that every time they find an ancient fragment of the Word of God, it confirms the authenticity of the Word of God. For thousands of years now, or hundreds of years now, people have been trying to undermine the validity of God's Word and the credibility of God's Word, and yet they keep reinforcing it over and over and over again. One of the most exciting finds recently is that they had found a signet seal of King Hezekiah. It is one of the first times that they have ever found anything, a genuine archaeological artifact bearing the name of the king, of one of the kings of Judah. And so it really was a quite an incredible find. Hezekiah was ruling and reigning during the time that the 10 northern tribes were captured by Assyria, and Assyria came all the way to Jerusalem. And you can read about in the Word of God the miraculous intervention, the divine healing, and the of Hezekiah, the miracles that he received, the signs, the wonders, and how it captivated the attention of the Babylonians, and they came to Hezekiah. Hezekiah was one of the kings who did it the right way. He didn't do everything correctly, but it was amazing what he did while he was on the throne. So repetition, repetition, repetition. The more that you repeat something, the more reinforced it is going to become to you. Now, here is the thing with communication, is most of the time when we think that people have finally started to get bored with hearing what we are trying to say, they are actually just now beginning to process the message. Now, when I preach in one of our services, I am a participatory preacher. I'm looking for feedback. I'm looking for people to say amen and things like that. And a number of people have said, Pastor, please do not get frustrated, because when you are preaching, it has been something that you have you've heard from God, and you've mulled it over in your spirit over and over and over again. You've meditated on it, and now you're speaking it. But for us, it is the first time that we've heard it, and so we are processing the things that you are saying. And so if you don't see us saying amen, it's because we are thinking, we are meditating on what it was that you said. We are committing it to memory. Now, my daughter has started our youth ministry. It's we're excited about what God is doing with our young people, our boys and girls ministry, our youth ministry. She has them sitting together as a group in our worship service, and after I get done preaching, or anybody who's preaching, she will gather them around and she begins to ask them, okay, what was the message about? And what has happened is the kids have started to take notes, and they know that somebody is going to be asking them what is going on. And it's not that there's a test, it's that the Word of God has the power to change lives. And so we want our young people's lives changed to the glory of God. So repetition, repetition, repetition. That is very, very important. So the second way that you can help to remember things is organize things together. Put them in groupings. And I'm not very good at doing a three-point outline like Robert Morris or Adrian Rogers. In fact, if you wanted to know a preacher who is phenomenal at helping people with just short phrases to remember and putting them in a systematic manner of organization, Adrian Rogers was phenomenal at it, absolutely phenomenal. And so, but you put things together, you pair them up. Now, I will tell you this, that I have a friend, he pastors a Hispanic congregation. And whenever I met him for the very first time, I had trouble remembering his name. Now, that's not unique to him. Remembering people's names has not been one of my strong suits. I can remember who they are, where they are from. I can remember when I was in retail, I sold shoes. I could tell you every shoe, every size, every width, and every color. I knew my entire inventory. When customers would come in, I could tell you what shoe they were looking for. I just had that all of that stuff committed to memory. In fact, I had it such committed to memory that one time a customer asked me, "Do you have this shoe in this size?" And I said, "No, I don't." Well, they went and complained to my supervisor, who came down and said, "Hey, what's up? This customer said you refused to help him." I said, "I didn't refuse to help him." They said, "Well, they asked you if you'd go, if you had this shoe in a size." And I said, "I don't have that shoe in a size. Come on back here. I'll show you." And I took them back there and I showed them. I said, "I can tell them exactly what size that I have." And she said, "Okay, well, you know, next time that happens, just go into the back room, even though you know what it is that you have and what you don't have, just go into the back room and, you know, at least make an effort at, helping to find what they're looking for." It's like, okay, well, you know, whatever. But I had committed those things to memory, organize things together. So back to my pastor friend, I immediately associated him with a different name. I could tell you the name that I spoke or that I thought it was, and for the first half a dozen times, he was that guy to me, and then he would correct me, and it's like, no, that's not my name. And so now, whenever I see him, I only see him a couple of times a year, I go through this process. Okay, what is the name that I called him? And his name actually is of a different nationality origin than the nation that he was born in. And so I have to go through this process. And so I organize this little system together to get me to the right name. And so every time he is just thrilled that for the past 10 years I have got his name right, because it was such an adventure during the first times. It just brings a smile to his heart. When I first came to Merit Assembly of God, there were four people in my family. There were six other people in the church. There was one man. He had been hit by a vehicle while he was on his bicycle. It took him 45 minutes to walk to church, and it was only about 300 feet. Now, you would think that I would be able to remember six people's names from week to week, and especially since there were only, I believe, two men, you would think that I would have been able to remember, but I struggled with remembering his name. So he decided to help me out with a little organizational thought. And so the third time that he came to church, I said, "I am so sorry. I just cannot remember your name." And he said, "My name is Jim, as in James, the brother of John, the disciple of Jesus." And you know, when he told me that, I was able to remember his name because I organized it together with the disciples. So for me, the next tip that I have here for you as far as remembering things is use more than one of your senses: hear, touch, see, speak. So when we have visitors that come to Merit Assembly of God, most of the time I will ask them to fill out a visitor's card, and I tell them, I said, "Please understand, this is not so that we can bombard you with information, but instead it is so that when I see your name tomorrow and I call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to lead you and guide you and to bless you and to place you and position you in the body of Christ, where you are going to be able to serve to the fullest of your ability and bring glory and increase to the kingdom of God," I said, it helps me once I see it. You see, if I just hear it, then I may not remember it. If I hear it and I speak it, then I've increased the likelihood. If I hear it and speak it and I see it, then I am able to remember it. And so use more than one of your senses. And so we have the visitor's card, so I'm able to touch it. I'm able to pray over them. And so that will also help you to remember things. The more involved you are, the more invested you are with your entire being in remembering something, the better off it is going to be. In the Word of God, we are called to be the amen. We're called to say amen. Amen means so be it. And so what God says is when you hear the promises of God, which are yea and amen in Christ, it is our privilege to say amen, so be it. And so it helps us to remember, you know, when there are kids that are growing up and parents make them promises, those kids do not forget those promises. And so you and I, we should not forget them as well. So the other thing is to create a visual trigger. My mind tends to work in picture mode. You know, if I have an image, it helps me to remember something. When I'm speaking, and it happens from time to time here on the radio program, then I sometimes get so engrossed in a detail of the story that I forget the purpose of what I was telling the story. And at church, I will say, you know what, if you will give me just a minute, I'm gonna continue to preach. And then when I remember what the point of that story was, then I will come back and I will tell you that story. And that's what happens. What happens is there's something that goes off in my brain, and it says, oh, that was the reason you were telling the story. I don't just tell stories for story's sake. I tell stories to help people remember the Word of God. You see, it is when we hide His Word in our hearts that we do not sin against Him. And so create a visual trigger. Remember what it is. So visual triggers that we have used is when you are driving down the road and you see a school crossing sign or a school zone with a flashing yellow light, that not only reminds you to slow down to the posted speed limit because there are children present, but let that be a trigger for you to remind you to pray for our young people who are going to school, that they would be in a safe environment, that they would have a relationship with Jesus, and that God would pour His Spirit upon our young people as they go to school. Pray for our teachers that they would be safe and that they would be able to keep our kids safe. And I will be honest with you, being a teacher in 2015 is a very, very difficult proposition. And so we need to remember to pray for our teachers. One thing that I had never really thought of doing until my son was a beneficiary of it was whenever a person in uniform, you come across their path, go up and say to them, thank you for your service. Now, I do that for police officers. I do that for military personnel. I'll do that for firefighters. I do that for our volunteers. Create a visual trigger that when you see it, it says, oh, yes, that reminds me of something. So when I preach, a lot of times I will have object lessons or something visual so that when people see that, for instance, one preacher was talking about that you are the salt of the earth, and if the salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And so he gave away a little salt shaker to everybody. It's just a visual reminder. We gave out lighthouses at one point in time. They weren't expensive. They came from the dollar store. We gave them out and said, this is a reminder to you that you are to let the light of Jesus shine in your community. Write yourself a reminder note is the next one. And that is something that's very simple. You know, we used to take it and post it up on the refrigerator. You can put it on the bathroom mirror. You can put it on the refrigerator door, or a lot of times I will post myself a reminder note on the door handle exiting my house. That if I've got something that I shouldn't forget, I will position it there where I've got to deal with it on my way out, because it helps me to remember. You see, we live in such a fast-paced society. Like this half-hour program is going by very, very quickly today, that our minds get to going and revved up on such a high use that sometimes we can forget things that we shouldn't forget. So write yourself a reminder note and let that trigger yourself. Another device that I have used is I leave myself a phone message. I leave myself a phone message. If I'm at home and I remember something that I need to do at work the next day, I will call and leave myself a message. And it goes something like this. Hi, this is me. I'm just calling to remind myself when I get into work tomorrow to do this. And so when I come into the office, I look into the office manager's office, and I see the message light blinking, and I say, oh, I've got a message. I wonder who that's from. And then I hit the message, and it says, hi, this is me. And it's like, oh, yeah, I left myself a message to remind myself that I need to do that. Another thing that is very helpful, it will help to organize your day, is at the very beginning of the day, set your agenda, write it down in order, the things that you need to accomplish for that day, and put it in the right order. So if you make your list, you know, whether it's just move it up or move it down with an arrow, whatever, put it in the order that you need to accomplish those things, and it will help you to remember what you need to do today, what you need to do. So, and the last thing that I've got here on these little helpful memory tips on how to remember, and again, this program's a little bit different today, and we're going to get back into 2 Timothy 1:7, or 2 Timothy chapter 1 tomorrow, and that is this: ask others to help you to remember. Ask others to help you to remember. This goes all the way back to our school days where you would be studying flashcards or multiplication tables or whatever, and you asked others to quiz you on it. And I know when finals weeks were going on, there were study groups, and we would help one another to study so that we would remember when it came time for the test, that we would be able to pass that on. Now, I've got an absolute incredible office manager. I don't care how wonderful your office manager is. Mine is the best one in Brevard County. She is absolutely phenomenal. She knows where everything is at, whether she's in the office or out of the office. She just does great. And I will ask people to help me to remember to do the things that I need to do. So let me review the list. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God's given you a sound mind. So speak that over your life. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Repeat the things that you want to remember until you remember them. Organize things in a manner in which it will help you to remember. Use more of your senses than just your hearing or just your seeing. Create a visual trigger. Write yourself a reminder note. Leave yourself a phone message and ask others to help you to remember. Remember that you are valuable to God and you're valuable to His kingdom. Don't ever forget how much God loves you. And we are thankful that you listen to Refresh. God bless you. You have a great Monday, and we will see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an